or just the death and resurrection. Each of those four acclamations in the Mass that we say at the consecration highlight in some way, they all say the same thing: he who eats this bread and drinks this wine proclaims the death of Christ until he comes. See, until he comes, he's risen now and coming. So Christ has died, Christ has risen, Christ will come again. So that's why we say that over and over and over again, because that's the meaning of the rite. And that's the reason the church, the priest, the celebrant announces it in some words at the beginning. Although a certain variation is allowed there, but I like to keep it to just the way it is, because then you know what we're going to do. We're going to celebrate the Paschal Mystery. Why not just say it that way? And to share in the Paschal Mystery. If a marksman wants to shoot something, or a target, he takes aim first. And so that's what we do in the Mass. We are going to celebrate the Paschal Mystery. I think it's glorious and beautiful to know what we're going to do. And there's nothing greater or better that we could do than to celebrate the Paschal Mystery. And to think that we can do it every day, you see, staggers the mind, that we can join in the Paschal Mystery of the Lord's death and resurrection every day. There's nothing more beautiful, nothing more important that we could possibly do than that. And so we aim at the beginning of the Mass, and then at the climax of the Mass, we shout the acclamation: Christ has died, Christ has risen, Christ will come again. We celebrate his death and resurrection until he comes. He comes to us. We're involved in this too. So, this is the Passion, Paschal Mystery. So you should do a lot of study and meditate on that too. We can't go into it, you know. We're going to go into it fairly deeply in this next day or so. We hope, in a way, that you'll have a great understanding of it. But now I'd like to give you a definition of the Paschal Mystery in the words of a group of scholars, which a textbook. No, it wasn't a textbook, but this comes from a document which was issued under the authority of the bishops to the priests of the United States, and it contains a definition of the Paschal Mystery in it, which is very beautiful and very appropriate, and I think final. It tells us what Christian spirituality is now. This is a definitive definition of Christian spirituality. We hear of all kinds of spirituality: Jesuit spirituality, Franciscan spirituality, Dominican spirituality, spirituality for this group, spirituality for the married, spirituality for this group or that group. But in the end, there is one basic spirituality, and that is Christian spirituality. All these others can only be some form of it. If they're going to be authentic at all, they must somehow express this basic Christian spirituality. And here's a definition for it. Christian spirituality consists in the living out in experience throughout the whole course of our lives of the death, resurrection of Christ. Death and resurrection, you see it. Death, resurrection. Into which we have all been caught up into by baptism. That we have all been caught up into by baptism. The living out in experience throughout the whole course of our lives of the death, resurrection of Christ that we have been caught up into by baptism. Now mark. First, we have been caught up into this Paschal Mystery right from the beginning in baptism. Do you not know that those who were baptized have been baptized in Christ Jesus, says St. Paul? In his letter to the Romans, chapter 5, verse 6. Yes, he says, are you not aware that we are baptized into Christ Jesus? We're baptized into his death. Through baptism into his death, we were buried with him. We are dead and buried with Christ. So that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we too might now live a new life. Now. Not in heaven, in the future? Now. If we have been united with him through likeness to his death, so shall we be through a like resurrection. Now, this preceded by some years the Vatican Council. So, you see, the Paschal Mystery didn't originate with the Vatican Council. But somehow or other, it's been obscured, even among theological circles for centuries. There were many difficulties. You'd have to go into a study of why. And we're not going to do that. But it's been obscured, and now it's finally merged into clarity in our generation, one of the great gifts of the Church to us in our generation. So, we are united with him. Now, St. Paul is talking here. You often hear this text. For example, it's used at least once in every funeral. And so we affirm it there at a funeral. But we get the impression there that this resurrection doesn't start until we die. The resurrection starts when we're baptized. We are already risen with Christ. And we're supposed to live a risen life thereafter. It says in our definition, consists in living out an experience throughout the whole course of our lives, right from baptism, because we received it in baptism, daily. Jesus says, carry my cross daily, throughout the whole course of our life. We're not just going to celebrate the Paschal Mystery once in a while. We're always involved in it. We're involved in it simply by the fact that we are baptized as Christians. You see? And so Saint Paul has in mind an image. He has the image and he has in mind here when he writes these words, is the image of the Jews going through the Red Sea pursued by the Israelites. The Jews were saved by the Red Sea as they passed through it from their enemies, and the Egyptians were destroyed. That symbolizes in us the destruction of paganism in order that Christianity may come to birth in us. The old man dies that the new man may live. That's the symbolism. Baptismal has several symbolisms. The baptismal font we mentioned the other day is the womb of the church. And Christ is the one who fertilized it, symbolized by the Paschal candle. But here's another symbolism, you see. We need... These are mysteries of God, and we need more than one symbol to explain them all. Here's the symbolism of passing through the Red Sea, or the Reed Sea. So, this is how we die with Christ, the old man in us. Nature dies to us, the unredeemed nature. That's why we call the unbaptized unregenerate. That means unredeemed. And those who are baptized have been redeemed by the death and the resurrection of the Lord, and already the invitation is given, the urgency arises of sharing in the death and the resurrection of the Lord. Now, I want to show you how we become involved, and it will start now. We'll go on this evening. We're almost finished here. I'll finish up the hour. Let us turn to the letter to St. Paul to the Philippians. Chapter 2, verse 4. Here's a magnificent statement in St. Paul of the Paschal Mystery. Really, while it's primarily the gift of Jesus, theologically it's very largely the gift of Paul. His commentary, his descriptions are the one who have defined it for us. Have in you, verse 5, that mind which was in Christ Jesus. I've quoted that to you several times. Have that mind in you which was in Christ Jesus. We spoke about the Christian mentality being the mind of Christ. Now here's St. Paul. He used it other places too. But here he enjoins us to take that, have that attitude should be that of Christ. That's the modern translation. the older translation was, have in you that mind which is in Christ Jesus. The older translation, the newer translation is perhaps more nuanced, as they say, but the older translation is more powerful, has more impact, it's more direct, and it's more accurate. Have this mind in you which was in Christ Jesus. But that's only part of the sentence. There's a colon there. He's going to define what he means. Who, though he was in the form of God, did not deem equality with God something to be clung to, something to be grasped at. Rather, he emptied himself. That's one of the most mysterious phrases in sacred scripture. He emptied himself and took the form of a slave, being born in the likeness of men. He was known to be of human estate, and it was thus that he humbled himself, obediently accepting even death, death on a cross. Now, do you see what's happened? The very Son of God, the Word of God that Jesus, that St. John speaks of in the first verses of his Gospel, the Word of God who was with the Father and his God, and through him all things were made, he has emptied himself. He has emptied himself of his honors, of the glory due to him. And he has condescended, he has humbled himself. He did not deem equality with God something to be held on to, but he emptied himself and he took the form of a slave. See, he comes down, being born in the likeness of men. He comes down to be a man. Imagine a man willingly becoming a worm for the benefit of the worm universe. That gives you an idea of what Christ has done. He has become a man, and not only a man, but a slave. See, down, up, down. A man, a slave, human estate, humbled himself. Death, still down. He's going to accept human life with all that it means. Death, and finally, the very nadir, death on a cross. The cruelest and most humiliating death imaginable. Down, down, down. That's the rhythm of the Paschal Mystery. That's part of the rhythm of the Paschal Mystery. But now the rest of it comes. Therefore, because of this, God has mightily exalted him and bestowed on him the name above every other name. So that at the name of Jesus, every knee must bend, in the heavens, and on the earth, and under the earth, and every tongue proclaim to the glory of God the Father, Jesus Christ is Lord. Up, 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 up. He reclaims his glory. He's at the side of the Father again. He's the creator of the universe. Now that's the rhythm of the Paschal Mystery. Down, down, down. Death and resurrection. Death and resurrection. It's the rhythm of our lives as Christians. So now we'll just take that one statement now and reflect on it, and this evening we will continue and develop the Paschal Mystery further and our part in it. But you see, St. Paul is already telling us, you start thinking about this yourselves, you're in it. Have this mind in you. You're going to die too. You're going to rise too. That's our hope. But in order to rise, we must die. Only those who die with Christ can rise with Christ. Only those who share the cross can share the glory. That will be the law of the Paschal Mystery for us. Okay.